Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to explore our guest, Jeet Banerjee's backstory of building several successful businesses, such as JB Media Force and StatFuse. Jeet speaks at conferences throughout the U.S. and elsewhere in a quest to inspire, engage, and inform others of his experiences. At 20 years old, Jeet spoke at a TEDx to inspire people to start pursuing their dreams now. Jeet is a consultant working with businesses of all sizes to provide value and to help move them forward. It is my pleasure to welcome Jeet to the show.
Thanks so much for the warm welcome. I'm excited to be here, Mark.
It's great to have you on the show. So it's hard to find teenager entrepreneurs. And when I started, it was very hard for me to find people who were starting out as a teenager. But I think the reason is that it's just so hard for them to think, start a business and like have the drive to do it. So what motivated you as a teenager to start so many businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So the biggest thing for me was when I was about 15 years old, my parents kind of decided to put their foot down. So they were obviously going to support me with all the basic necessities, food, clothing, shelter, stuff like that. But they basically told me that I had to go get a job if I wanted to, let's say, go to the movies with my friends on the weekend or wanted to buy the latest game or whatever it was. They kind of told me I got to find a way to earn like my own pocket money for all that stuff. So from that, I started looking for various like odd jobs and various jobs that basically a 15-year-old kid can do. And as you can imagine, there's not a lot of good or decent jobs that a 15-year-old kid can do. So I did a bunch of things such as receptionist, door-to-door marketing, telemarketing, just various odd jobs, secretary type of roles and stuff like that. And I probably took over 12 jobs in a period of like a year or two, and I quickly found out that one thing was common amongst these jobs. I was basically quitting or getting fired from each of these jobs within a month, and something just didn't feel right inside of me. And I had this whole big idea of graduating high school, going to college, getting a business degree, and working a corporate job, and having all the money in the world and being happy. And I thought that's what an ideal and perfect life looked like for me. But here I was in high school not being able to work like 16 hours a week or 12 hours a week doing odd jobs. And that was what kind of hit me and told me, you know what, maybe this path that I've set up for me and that I think is right for me isn't right for me. So maybe I should look into other avenues. And that's when I kind of came across the idea of entrepreneurship.
That's awesome that you came across it. What I see that is a lot of people who pursue entrepreneurship, some of them, they just do so many different jobs and it just doesn't work out for them at all. And that's why they end up going to the entrepreneur path. I mean, it's more revenue. It is a lot more work, but at least you're doing something that you enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest downfall for me when working jobs was that I had no like creative freedom. And that was kind of like a big reason why I decided to shift away, because I would go up to my bosses or to my managers and tell them, hey, I got this really cool idea and stuff like that. And they'd just be like, okay, go back to work, kid, and just completely disregard it. And I just thought as an entrepreneur, I had the ability and the control to do whatever I thought was right. And nobody could tell me no.
I like that. As an entrepreneur, it's easier to make the choices for yourself. So it's great that you became an entrepreneur and were able to experiment with your own ideas. So when you started experimenting with your ideas and creating businesses out of those ideas, what were you thinking about that path in front of you when you were just starting out your businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started out with like my businesses and stuff, I didn't understand entrepreneurship that well. So for me, I thought entrepreneurship or being a successful entrepreneur was just about making enough money to support yourself through your own business or through your own venture. So when I first got started, I initially was just kind of focused on two things, money and trying to use the knowledge that I already had to create a business. So using my knowledge to create my existing business, that was obviously a great idea, but kind of focusing on the money I learned later on wasn't such an important or one of the best things to focus on. But initially, I had a lot of knowledge about like websites and making websites and kind of like the process of hiring a, when a company hires a web development company to make the website and the process that entails throughout the development process, because I'd worked for a web development company myself and all that stuff. And even though I didn't have the design or development skills myself, I understood the business model very well. And one day I was just stumbling, looking for opportunities, and I came across on Craigslist seeing that there were so many companies in other countries that were offering web design skills and web development skills for dirt cheap, but the language barrier was causing all the companies here in the US to not accept their business, and they were still paying the upsell of 5 or 10x and getting a company here just so that they would be able to communicate better. So my big idea to start my first entrepreneurial business, which was JB Media Force, was why not work with these developers and stuff like that. I'm Indian of heritage, and I could speak the languages in India, and I can communicate with these developers and designers, and then I can also communicate in English with the clients here. So that was essentially the big idea, being just a middleman and just creating this web development company, so forth. And that company ended up being very successful. I kind of grew it to 20 plus employees over a span of 2 years before I sold it. And that's kind of how I just really got my feet wet in the entrepreneurship world.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, the way that you saw that there was like two extremes and you managed to find that middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have this idea and you gotta get the employees, build the business. So what type of work did you have to do to reach that breakthrough?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was quite a bit of a work, especially because it was my first business venture and I had never really gone through this path. So it was a lot of just experimenting, failing hard. And the thing was, I always made sure to fail fast. So I kind of just jumped in head on and I didn't really ask too many questions or try to spend too much time reading books and like learning from other aspects. I just decided the best thing for me was to just go all in on this and just to learn by doing. So I hit a lot of barriers when it came to hiring employees, figuring out like the best way to hire employees, the best way to have kind of like management and structure in within your team in another country. Those were some big lessons for me. I suffered a lot of rejection when I tried doing marketing, pitching my projects to clients, and trying to get business. So it was kind of all in all like a learning experience from both sides. And I'd probably say it took probably about 6 months before we actually kind of got off the ground. But once I did get off the ground and I kind of nailed the business model down, I was really good about just scaling it very fast. So I was good about hiring salespeople and giving them the training and teaching them what they needed to know here locally. And then I was really good about scaling out my operations overseas as well. So I think the toughest part was probably like the first 6 months of just figuring out, okay, how do I acquire a customer? How do I give the customer the best experience possible? How do I get good employees? How do I keep my employees happy? And once I was able to kind of maneuver through those waters, I kind of had it down, and I was doing very well after that.
The key part of a successful business, in my opinion, is the team that you have behind you who will like, they'll help you get stuff done. They create a positive atmosphere. So how exactly do you get team members who they're quality team members who are going to help your business move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a combination of really two things. The first thing being like finding team members or people that kind of believe in the same vision as you. And I'm kind of a big believer with any business or anything that you do. If the people around you believe in what you believe in, then it just makes it a step easier. But if it's something where people don't really believe in what you're doing, they're not going to believe in what they're doing. And it's just going to be kind of like a chore, just something that they force themselves to do. So that passion and that positive energy isn't there. And the second thing was really just incentivizing people. So while it was important for me to make money, I kind of was never really greedy. And even till this day, like I've always been the type of person that, hey, if you're going to do good work for me, I'll give you a little bit of equity in my company. Or just finding different ways to incentivize people so that their skin is in the game equally with you. And those have been the two best things that I've found for really getting team members to cooperate and give their 100% on a project.
Thank you for providing that advice for building a team. That's a very important value because the team has a big impact on the business success. So to achieve your business success, you obviously had to do a lot of work to get from where you started to now having these successful businesses. So what was your biggest source of motivation that helped you to reach the breakthrough?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my biggest motivation was just kind of seeing like the small wins, because even when I kind of started my first business and stuff like that, I was still attending high school, and then eventually I graduated and I moved on to college. And even though I didn't really believe in the school education system at this point, and I was kind of seeing a whole different world, my parents strongly believed in the school education system and stuff like that. So for them, it was, oh, this is just a hobby. This is just a little thing that you're doing on the side, but this isn't going to be a career. So start focusing on your career and go to school and go to college. So the big things for me was just trying to show them proof that from my little successes that this was a career and this was something more than just a hobby, something that I could do for the rest of my life. And because they were so kind of against it and kind of weren't a believer in what I was doing, I think that was kind of like my big motivation. So like my breakthroughs were just kind of every time I was able to achieve a goal, like for example, selling my first business and showing them, look, hey, I started this from scratch. I had absolutely nothing. I made X amount of dollars and I did all these things and I grew this company here. That's an achievement. And they would kind of look at that and say, okay, that's not bad, but I still think you need to go to college. And then like so forth, taking steps like delivering a TEDx speech and having that speech be viewed 50,000 times on YouTube. That's kind of been like another breakthrough for me where I've been able to show them. And over these little accomplishments and accolades over time, eventually a few years back, my parents just finally said, you know what, I see the progress that you've made and I see how passionate and how diligent and hardworking you are with this entrepreneurship stuff. You go all in, don't worry about school. So it was just kind of like proving mainly to my parents that I could do this, because I knew inside of me that I could always do this, and I was always motivated just by my passion of every time I saw a small success or something small happen, it just kind of like triggered something inside of my brain that said, okay, now let's go get 10x of this, or now let's go get the next goal. So I've always been driven by goals, and my motivation has just been achieving one goal at a time and then just kind of moving forward towards the next ones.
The goals that you give yourself have a big impact on what you actually do. So Jeed's been giving himself a lot of great goals, and you can see that through his successful businesses. So challenge yourself to give yourself bigger goals. That it may be an extra stretch, but if you give yourself bigger goals, it's actually proven that the bigger your goals are typically, the more you are going to accomplish, as long as you keep those goals within reach, but not too easy to get either.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with that completely.
So my next question for you is, what is the best thing about hitting the breakthrough? So being able to, for instance, go all in on your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best thing about being able to go all in your business and just kind of like the breakthrough point, honestly, for me, it's always just been about validation, because like when I first started, I didn't really know if I was going to make it as an entrepreneur. It was just something new to try and just something to try my hand at and see, because I tried the job route, and obviously the job route wasn't for me. So the next thing on the list was essentially starting my own business and seeing how that goes. So for me, it was all about validation, because I myself wasn't 100% sure if it was going to happen or not, especially early on. So validation for me was just kind of seeing small accomplishments and small achievements. Like if something is moving forward, you're constantly growing and you're achieving things along the way. If you're not kind of moving forward on your business or your ideas have a flaw, then you're kind of either standstill or you're going backwards. So just the idea of constantly being able to see myself moving forward. With my first business, it was like, okay, I started with just me and two employees. After that, within 6 months, we were at 6 employees. So I've already 3x my number of employees, my number of projects, and the amount of revenue that's coming in. So all those types of things were like validation, like, okay, I was able to grow this much in 3 months or in this much in 4 months, whatever the case is. So for me, it's just always been about validation. And if I'm able to make small achievements that are constantly leading upwards and towards a positive direction, that means that I'm doing something right.
So it sounds like you need the validation, but at the same time, you're also competing with yourself to, you want to become a better person, for instance, than you were yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about every day kind of, every day being better than you were yesterday in more than one way possible. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who are trying to reach their breakthrough? It could be, let's say, getting more blog traffic, a certain number, or starting multiple successful businesses as you have. But what is your advice for the entrepreneur who is trying to hit his or her breakthrough?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what I've noticed with a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when they're first starting off and they've kind of got these lofty goals, is a lot of people get too kind of attached to the idea of starting out the perfect way, and they kind of like plan, but there's not enough execution done. And the big thing that I've learned with everything that I do is I try to launch fast. And if I'm going to fail, I'd rather fail fast than plan, and then fail, which is just seems to be more heartbreaking to me. So my advice for anyone that's trying to achieve their breakthrough point is just go out there and get your feet wet and just go through the process and just go through the journey. And as you execute, you're going to learn so much. You might fail. You might make a ton of mistakes, but you rather make those mistakes and fail today because you started headstrong right away rather than planning and trying to like craft your best strategy possible and then launching 6 months from now, because you really don't know what the best strategy is until you get your feet wet and until you go head on into whatever it is that you're trying to do. So my best advice for people is fail fast and just get your feet wet right away and just jump head on.
That strikes on a similar vein that all successful people, they've got all their stories of success, but they also have all of their stories of mistakes. So making mistakes, you could see them as stepping stones in order to reaching your goal. Of course, the mistakes are only stepping stones if you're learning from the mistakes and you're actually doing something about that to make yourself better. So that's a key thing about hitting the breakthrough. Don't be afraid to make a mistake, because each mistake is getting you closer to your success.
Yeah, absolutely. And just another point to add to that, one of the best things that I've ever learned in the world of entrepreneurship and business is that you only have to be right once, and that's what you're going to be remembered for. Nobody cares if you've failed or been wrong 500 times. As long as you're right once, that one time is all you need to be successful.
I was actually reading Mark Cuban's book recently. He touched on that point.
Yeah. I think Mark Cuban and a couple of the entrepreneurs talk about that. Yeah, it's such an awesome it puts an awesome perspective on the whole entrepreneurship thing when you kind of look at it from that standpoint.
I still remember how blown away I was when I first heard that you only have to be right once as an entrepreneur, and like all of these athletes who had to like get it right 30% of the time or 40% of the time. But for you just got to get it right once as an entrepreneur. That's the sweet part. Anything else is extra credit.
Yep, exactly.
So you've gotten it right a few times. You're managing multiple businesses that have numerous employees. You're able to focus on your business full time. So what are the three tips that you have for people who want to grow and maintain a business of their own?
Yeah, absolutely. So for my best tips for growing, kind of maintaining a business is, so my first tip for everybody is to kind of start small and just kind of it's kind of like a science project. So when you first start your business and you're trying to figure out growth and all that stuff, you kind of just have a bunch of hypotheses on in terms of different ideas or different things that you think are going to work in your business. So you're just kind of testing the waters and you're just kind of seeing, okay, is idea A right? Is idea B right? Is idea C right? And you're just kind of going through this process. So you want to start out small with everything that you do with your business, and you're just trying to figure out what is the one thing that's really going to make this business take off or make this company grow and hit whatever achievements or accomplishments or goals that you have set for it. So step one is starting small. Step two is scaling. So once you've started small and you've nailed exactly what it is, I love to say once you nail it, that's when you scale it. So a lot of people like to scale everything out in the very beginning but they don't have any idea what's going to work and what's not going to work. So it's key to start extremely small. Then once you figure out what works, nail it down and then just scale it completely, because that's when you're going to be the most profitable. And now you have an exact plan of action or course of action that's going to tell you exactly what has worked and what is going to get you to the most profitable point or the most number of customers, most investable point, whatever the metric is that you're going for with your company. And then the third tip that I would have for companies is just to grow exponentially and not to outgrow your own growth. So what I basically mean by that is a lot of companies, they'll get kind of like overnight, they'll kind of see like, okay, wow, we made 10x or we made 5x of our marketing efforts and whatever it is. And then they'll go out and they'll take a loan out and they'll do all these crazy things and go all in on one idea. But that's not necessarily or always the best idea, because you need to test things over a long period of time. A week or 2 weeks isn't a long enough time to say that one type of marketing strategy or one type of business strategy is that good, where you can invest and you can just unload everything on. So with growth, you've got to be careful and you've got to kind of slowly grow your business to a point where you're comfortable, where you're not risking more than the rewards can reap you. So those are probably my three best pieces of advice for any entrepreneur or business looking to kind of take the next level or kind of grow their companies.
Thank you for the tips, G. I was very interested, especially interested when you were talking about the growth side of it. We're surrounded by so many opportunities. There's probably like thousands of articles about getting more blog traffic and like different ways to do it. And that's just for any part of business. There are so many opportunities around us, but it's so tempting to just like use them all. But the issue is if you use all of the opportunities, you're going to be really bad at all of them. So you just got to stick with that one or two opportunities that are going to make the biggest impact on your business.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So there's a plethora of content available online and like advice that people are constantly going to give you nonstop. Kind of what I've learned over time is to take everything with a grain of salt. You know what your business needs and you know what's best for your business. So don't always necessarily jump head on anytime you get one piece of advice or someone tells you something. Really just break it down, analyze it, and just see if it's going to be as valuable to your business as someone else thinks it is, because you know the ins and outs of your company. So my best advice for people is to always take things with a grain of salt and to approach things very carefully and not to just jump in without kind of thinking about it, because they could be passing up another opportunity for something else.
Right, just to focus on what you're aiming to do, because if you lose focus of the opportunities that are bringing in the most success, then you risk losing the business or a lot of bad things happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So one of my opinions is that I feel like everyone has their favorite inspirational quote, and they recall it during certain times when the going gets tough or when they feel the need to get inspired to get their work done. So I ask you, what is your favorite inspirational quote and why?
Yeah, absolutely. So my favorite inspirational quote actually comes from Mahatma Gandhi, and it is, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And this is one of my favorite quotes because, especially early on when I was kind of just thought of entrepreneurship as, oh, just whoever can make the most money doing entrepreneurship is a successful entrepreneur. I quickly realized after my first business, when I ended up selling it, that even though the first business was great, I was profitable, I was doing all these cool things, I wasn't really happy because I didn't feel like I was doing something game changing, because there's millions of web developers and web designers out there. So whether I was in business or not wasn't really going to affect the marketplace that much, because someone else could just go and find someone, some other person to do that job easily. So that's when I made the decision to kind of put that business to rest after selling it off and moving on to StatFuse, where I kind of wanted to create, I wanted to use entrepreneurship not for just making money, but for also changing the world and impacting people and kind of solving problems. And that's when I kind of launched StatFuse, which is kind of like a web application that helps high school students with the college process. So helping students get into college by giving them their chances of acceptance, and then also analyzing their college application for strengths and weaknesses. So that's why that quote really stays home for me.
I just went through the college process. StatFuse, anything to make the college process easier is greatly appreciated by the high school community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think there's so much of a gap between the transition from high school to college, and there isn't enough resources out there. That's what we found out too when my partner and I went through the process. So that's why we basically just created StatFuse, because even though it doesn't solve every single problem, we just thought it solved some of the more important problems with the college application process, and we just wanted to help students by giving them a resource. Yeah.
I could literally go on for hours about the whole process because I just went through it, but I don't want to do that at this stage. Instead, I want to give Jeet the spotlight and just take it away. Let us know where we can find you on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. So probably the best way to get in contact with me or get in touch with me and see all my projects and stuff is my personal website, which is jeetbanerjee.com, which is spelled JeetBanerjee.com.
Thank you for taking the time to be a guest on the podcast. It was wonderful to have you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be on here.
What a great interview that was. I first came across Jeet's work when he was 21 years old, and it has a big impact on me as a teenager entrepreneur. The team behind you can literally make or break your business. And I'm happy we got to talk about that and all the other nuggets of wisdom in this podcast episode. And if you feel like a goal is too big for you, try it and do not be afraid to fail. As the saying goes, people fail their way to success. If you forgot to take the notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markabirdie.com/E5 for those. You can ask questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and have not done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a rating and or a review. Two ways you could do this are through markaberty.com/iTunes or markaberty.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markaberty.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Caberti. For more insights, head on over to markaberty.com.